Hello, everyone. I'm Dimitri Petropoulos, and you're listening to a recording of the free question and answer teleclass presented by the Community Driven Institute on January 13, 2010. If you'd like to learn more about the Institute, please visit www.communitydriven.org or find us on YouTube, Facebook, and other places throughout the web. So now, let's join the discussion.
I'm going to welcome everyone to the Q&A session for Community Driven Consulting. What is it and how is it different from what I already do? This is Hilde Gottlieb, and with me on the panel today are two of my very, very favorite people in the world, Bonnie Koenig and Randa Cleaves. I'll be introducing them in just a minute. But first, I want to introduce my partner in crime, Dimitri Petropoulos, who you've already been hearing from. Dimitri will be manning the switchboard and taking your questions and generally making sure everything is running smoothly. I frequently say that Dimitri just makes sure that the floor is there so we can all walk on it. So say hi, Dimitri.
Hello, Hilde. I will try to live up to holding up the floor
Make sure we're all on solid ground. A little bit of logistics to get us going. This session is all about you, the callers, and your questions. So if you have a question you would like to ask, you can do so in two ways. You can ask that question live on the phone by pressing *6, and you'll be put in the queue. And at the risk of sounding like the recording when you call the bank, your calls will be answered in the order they are received. You can also email your questions to teleclass@communitydriven.org, and we will add those questions to the queue and intersperse them in with the questions from callers. Also, if anybody is live tweeting this call, if you see questions come up on Twitter, please email those to us and let us know that they're from Twitter, and so we can be conscious to recognize those as well. I think that covers all the logistics. Dimitri, does that? Anything else that you
I think so, and if anything comes up in the meantime, we'll bring it up.
Anything catches fire, you'll scream it and yell?
I'll try to put it out.
Excellent. Now I get to introduce our panelists, and our panelists today, Bonnie and Randa, come from two very, very different perspectives, and I'm really excited that both of them could be here. One is in fundraising, primarily at the local level. One is in strategy. One has been doing her work in this way for a very long time, and one is rather new to it. And the thing that both these women have in common is that they have really been consulting for a very, very long time, and it's been fun to watch them evolve and us all evolve together. Let me start with Bonnie Koenig. Say hi, Bonnie.
Hi, everyone.
Bonnie and I have been having conversations around these topics for, I don't know, we were trying to figure out before, it could be as long as 15 years. And the conversations have always revolved around how the way most systems that we were using as consultants, governance and fund development and strategy and planning, didn't aim at the kinds of visionary change we both wanted to see in the world. And we both had that sense of frustration and a sense that we were doing things in a way that was getting results and starting slowly to explore that. And so it has just been such a joy to have Bonnie along on this ride for all those many years and to be part of the classes as well through that. So, Bonnie, could you just introduce yourself and tell a little bit about the work that you do and how you fit into this?
Sure. Thanks, Hilde. As Hilde mentioned, I've known Hilde and Dimitri for quite a number of years. I've been a consultant now for well over 15 years, primarily working with nonprofit organizations, what we're now trying to call community benefit organizations, non-governmental organizations at the international level, on how they engage with the world. So I work with very domestic organizations that are just engaging in one way or another through sister organization relationships or through having some members from outside of the U.S. And I work with very global organizations on governance issues and how you truly operate a global organization. And as Hilde mentioned, one of the interesting things about working internationally, and for those of you who work multiculturally, it's the same kind of way that you come to this work, is that you really learn how to do things differently and how to engage differently. So I came to what's now the Community Development Institute, and as Hilde mentioned, talking to Hilde and Dimitri for quite a number of years now, desperately looking for other kindred spirits, what is often now called communities of practice, to find other consultants and other people who really believe the way that I Sue, that it's so important to really challenge paradigms and really work with changing our systems in a way that we can truly bring about significant change.
It's so nice to have you here. I'm so excited. I'm excited anytime I get a chance to be with Bonnie, so this is very fun. Randa Cleaves has come into our lives very, very recently and joyfully. Randa and her husband Jonathan were part of our November class, and that is really the first time that we met. And Randa just excites me every time I see your name come up on the online community that we have for graduates of the class. I get excited because I know that you will have tried something new and are excited by it. Randa's background is in fundraising. Randa's been doing fundraising for 30 years, and the fun part for me in the class was to have someone with that level of experience say, wow, it's just not doing what I want it to do. I can move it to the next level, and I don't know what that next level is, but I want it to be there. And watching what Randa and her husband Jonathan have been doing since taking the class has just been you guys are my new rock star, my new role models. So Randa, if you could introduce yourself, tell a little bit about what you do and what brought you to this work.
Thank you, Hilde. Yes. Has been a new journey for us coming, although we were lurking around in your perimeter, you just weren't aware of us. So I think many people out there are reading your articles and getting a sense of what may be possible through this visionary thinking and looking for that extra piece of how can we actually implement this and make it part of our work. So taking all of this experience and having raised over $100 million over the years and watching some projects do very well and watching some projects and organizations continue to struggle throughout the whole Pacific Northwest region here, I knew that there was something more that I wanted to capture, and I was reading it in what I was reading, but I wanted to get Jonathan and me down there to Tucson to actually experience it and soak it into our pores.
And do you feel soaked?
Taking the consultant immersion has completely transformed the way we're working, and I feel very privileged that after 30, 35 years of doing this, that I actually found a way to re-energize myself in this career. I love mission-based organizations, community benefit organizations, and found a way to take my game to a higher level. And so I'm not looking at, you know, how many days till retirement. I'm looking at, wow, a whole new future really has opened up with this wonderful foundation that I have from all the years that I have spent doing this work.
Wonderful. Well, it is so nice having you here. And just to give a quick introduction of me, I know many of you listening have either read my stuff or followed me on Twitter or found us somehow. But the background that Dimitri and I bring to this work is that we were, both of us have very strong community organizing backgrounds, very strong for-profit business backgrounds. And when we decided to form our company back in 1993, realized that what we really wanted was that at the end of the day that the world would be a better place for the work that we were doing. And about 5 years into that work, doing strategic planning and resource development planning and governance work the way all of us have been taught to do it and really pushing that envelope as hard as we could, we still came to the realization that we were supposedly at the top of our game. We were doing things. We were working by referral. We had all the business we could have wanted. Our clients were really, really happy with what was happening, and yet we weren't seeing communities change as a result of the work that we were doing. And so it has been about 11 years now since we started on this journey to really ask the question, how can the work that we do as consultants catalyze community change? How can we ensure that the planning we do, the governance work that we do, the resource development work that we do, all aims at creating really significant community change. And it has been the most joyous ride we've ever been on. And the most exciting part of that is the realization that this is something that we can't keep to ourselves, that it needs to be something that if, you know, it's many of you know that we've founded organizations in the past. We founded the diaper bank here in Tucson, and it was the same driving force that said if something were to happen to us, all of this goes away. And it was way more important to us that this not be something trademarked, that this not be something closed that only certain people can do, and that we frequently hear is it model compliant, that it can't be like that, that this needs to be something that folks add to the work that they're doing to really leverage it to the next point so that we really change the way this sector is doing its work so everybody is creating significant change, not just a couple of consultants, but everybody from funders to management support organizations to everybody. And so that's what's the really driving force behind the Community Driven Institute and why we are doing these classes. So if any of you have got questions about anything, just press star 6 or send us an email at teleclass@communitydriven.org. And I will start with the first question that has come up, which is, how is this going to change not only the work that I do, but the way I do that work? And the question was a long email question, which I will try and summarize in, am I going to have to learn everything all over again? Is this going to be everything from scratch, or am I going to be able to adapt this to the work I'm already doing? And if so, how is it going to change that work? Randa, Bonnie, what has your experience been?
This is Bonnie. I'll jump in first. I think one of the things that's really important about that question is to realize that what you bring to the course is an equal partner to what you'll learn from the course. It really is practicing engagement. So absolutely not, you don't sort of check your brain at the door, you know, as sometimes the joke is. There really is a sense that one of the things that's so strong about this community is that we're all learning from each other, and it's not a standard just being taught things without being able to bring all your expertise. And I think that's why Hildy really emphasized the background that both I and Randa brought to this, and the fact that we were able to really customize all of this to the kind of work that we were doing anyway. So absolutely, it's very important what you bring to the class, and it's not going to be sort of throw that out. What it is all about, and what's very different, is it's all about not doing things differently, but being different. One of the things that I like to talk about, and it's actually Pollyanna principle number 3 about being, everything's being interconnected and interdependent, I like to use the word integrated. And life is integrated. If you think about what we do, we're constantly doing different things. Excuse me. We're constantly wearing different hats. I'm sorry. But society has specialized us and compartmentalized us so much in the organizations we work with that we've lost that sense of integration in our work life. And one of the things that's so powerful about this approach is that it helps to reintegrate ourselves and then to reintegrate the organizations that we work with. And that's incredibly energizing and eventually effective and sustainable. And so hopefully we can give you some sense of why we're so energized about this.
I'd like to add to that, this is Randa, that you don't go into this class and learn that anything you've been doing it wrong. So you don't have to drop anything and feel guilty that for 20 years you've been doing something that was wrong. What you do is you get to expand the way that you are conducting your practice into a whole new sort of way of being. It's about the way that you are with your prospects and with your clients. So you get to really build upon your knowledge base and your skills base, but expand it into a new realm. And that's somewhat hard to describe in words, but it's not just about learning new tools or techniques. This is not that you will walk out of there with six new tools to implement, you will walk out of there with a new way of looking at organizations and at your prospects and at the community, and you will then take all of the perspectives that you gain from the class, couple it with your work, and recreate your consulting practice that way.
It's interesting. One of the things that one of the participants had said is that the class is absolutely not about tools and techniques, but that you will come away with so many tools and techniques. I always thought that was the interesting dichotomy, that the purpose and the real core of what the course is that whole being differently, but that because, as both Bonnie and Randy, you both said, you're bringing yourself to it. And so what you're talking about is, oh, this worked for me, and in this situation, this worked for me. And so folks are learning both the being and then, of course, learning technique from each other.
So I'll give an example of that. Some of us who have been through the class sort of joke about a new science, questionology. For those of you who are currently consultants and facilitators, you know that one of the things that we always do is ask questions. But there's always a better way to ask the question, and there's always a different way to ask the question, and it's one of the things that keeps us on our toes as facilitators to think about those questions and the power of questions. And that's one of the really, I think, powerful lessons that I've learned from going through this process, that there's lots of different questions, but how you frame them and how you use them and how you consistently hone your technique and your skills is something that it's both a technique and a tool, but it's how you use those techniques and tools. And the marriage of those two is what's really powerful.
We do have a question via email from Norm Olshansky. Hello, Norm. It's nice to have you here. I'm not going to read the whole question because it's delightfully long. But one of the things I do want to answer Norm's first question was, will a transcript of today be available? Not only will a transcript be available, but we're recording this, and it will be available via podcast, so folks will be able to listen after the class is over. Norm's question is, as a consultant, I believe that what I do does have an impact and it provides community benefit as a result of what I do for the organizations with whom I work. What is unique about your approach? What skills or processes are used that I normally would not be used by a highly professional consultant who is unfamiliar with our approach? So what are the skills or processes that might not normally be used? What is unique? What have you guys found, Randa, Bonnie?
I'd like to build on what Bonnie was saying before about the asking questions. When we are keeping in mind all the principles that we absorb from Hilde during that week, then our relationship to prospects and to clients becomes so different. So we, over the holiday period, we got a referral for a prospect, and I was talking to them over a couple of week period. At the end of it, when they decided to hire our firm for their strategic plan and process, the compliment that we got was that we asked such good questions of them, and that when they talked to other prospects, they heard of their prospective consultants. They heard from those consultants how much they charged and what other projects they'd done that were similar. But when they talked to me or to my partner, we drew more out of them because we were asking them such good questions. And of course, we knew through our week of training exactly where we were going with those questions. But it led to a very successful couple of sessions with them because there were no surprises. We had been able to really map out the entire process with them to build up the kind of rapport and communication with them that we walked into that room feeling that we knew the whole lay of the land, instead of walking into the room saying, okay, now I have to get the lay of the land while I'm here. And letting them draw on their own wisdom and letting them share so much of what they had wanting to say, to us beforehand, enabled us to get through a lot in about a 12-hour consultation period with them.
Randa,
and I would add two things.
Go ahead, Bonnie, I'm sorry.
I would add two things to that. Two aspects that I think have changed somewhat through my being involved with the CDI and going through this process is, one, that the real focus on integration. If you think about the way that you do your work, and a lot of it's the systems that we're just used to working with. As Hilde indicated, a lot of us do really exciting work, and our clients, you know, have been real positive about us, and we do referral work, and we said, well, you know, but there's got to be something else here. And to me, that's that whole integration. And that somebody will say, well, I'm a grant writer, you know, I'm a strategic planner, you know, or I'm a fundraiser. Why do I need to be doing this? And it's back to that holistic world and really retraining ourselves to think about what else do we need to be thinking about. And I think that's the piece that Randa's talking about in terms of taking us to another level. We can be really effective, and I'm sure you are, but it takes us to that level of really thinking all the time in an integrative way that comes across to our clients in a different way and then comes across in terms of changing bigger and larger structures in our communities. So that's one thing that I would comment on. The second thing that I would comment on in terms of how this is really different is that a lot of us sort of think about walking the talk, or I call it modeling the process, but we don't do that naturally. You know, we tend to talk to people more than we do really structure processes to engage people so that they're part of the process and we're modeling the process. And Hilde started that from the very beginning, and I just want to tell a quick story about how the course starts off from the very beginning. If you think about the concept of building communities and what a community is all about and how you build trust, which is something I spent a lot of time thinking about, and I suspect that you all do as well, it takes a tremendous amount of time, and it takes particular techniques and skills to really understand what community is all about. Well, Hilde and Dimitri start the class the same way they started this conversation, by introducing the participants. They take the time to get to know the participants and introduce them. And what that does right off the bat is it models the process of building communities, because you've already come into a group that somebody's telling you wonderful things about somebody that they are probably too humble to say about themselves. And it's already created a trust, because you have respect for the course and for Hilde and Dimitri. It's already created, or beginning to create, that sense of trust, and has already begun to model the process. And so that whole sense of how, with everything we do as a consultant, we model the process. We may do some of that, but most of us don't do that on a consistent basis. And it's incredibly energizing and effective in working with clients and bringing about community change.
Two things that are occurring to me as you guys are talking. One of the big differences and again, it was the focus of why we developed the work that we're doing in the way that we have, is that while we felt too, we had gotten into this work to make a difference, and obviously if I'm making an organization more effective at the work that they're doing, I'm obviously changing the world. And clearly we weren't. We were working for a food bank and realized that the strategic plan we created was not going to do anything to end hunger in their community. And so one of the big differences is that at every single point of the work that we're doing, we are explicitly focusing on the community change that the organization wants to create, and using the systems that are in place, governance, just like Bonnie and Randa have said, that it's bringing what you already do to the course and then layering on top of it a different way of being in that. That's being modeled in the class to you as consultants, so that you can then model that to your clients, so that they can be differently, so they don't have to change everything, but they are changing the way they be inside of that, so that governance shifts. It's not entirely different. It's not that suddenly they're meeting every day or that suddenly they're going to 50 board members. No, they're taking what they're already doing and shifting it so that it is aimed explicitly at the change they want to see in community. The same with planning, the same with resource development, the same with every piece fits more into the context, but that being piece is really about context. It's not so much about the content, but that the content fit within that context. So that's one piece that I wanted to sort of summarize out of the things that both Bonnie and Randa were saying. Another big piece, and Randa, I would love you to speak to this because you spoke about it so eloquently over the past several days on the online community, is the extent to which the work starts before the contract starts. And the extent to which it is the preparation that leads us into being successful and having no surprises. Randa, could you talk to that a little bit?
Yes, certainly. And something I'd like to say as a preface is that in the class, I mean, I know I wondered what we were going to do for five whole days in the class because, you know, can't you just go to a three-hour seminar or maybe a two-day training and learn something? So going into this five-day class, I wondered what on earth we were going to do to occupy the time. So I found that the time absolutely flew by, and the reason is that it is so enormously participatory. And yes, we are doing a lot of reading beforehand, and we are listening to Hilde and Dimitri in their sharing, and then we are practicing, and we are in a very safe space with our colleagues, and we are working on each other and with each other. So it really becomes our group process where we get to refine our skills and in this new context that Hilde is talking about. The amount now of preparation time going into a new project has increased the amount of work that happens beforehand through this questioning and through this getting to know the client before the contract even starts. That was a shift in the way I had been doing work. And initially I was questioning it and wondering what the benefit would be. And so the first couple of prospects that came along after the class, I was awfully tempted to sort of, you know, get down to the bottom line and let's just start this project and then we'll get to know each other. But the payoff of doing I'm hesitating about calling it work because it's not work. It becomes building this wonderful relationship with the prospect while they're still a prospect and telling them that essentially we are looking at them as a client already, that all of the conversations are confidential and that we are building relationship together. And we're very clear about telling them what our process will be with them and, what the ultimate end result of the project will be and being sure that they are as comfortable with that as we are in working with them. So it led us into to very productive work already just in the 2 months since we have completed the class in November and walking into situations, again, where we weren't just getting to know each other or wondering if this was going to work out. We knew that we had chosen a client to where we were going to spend our time productively. They were feeling that they had chosen consultants who were going to be productive for them. There were no surprises about projects, costs, personalities going into it. So it led to a very, very smooth launching of these projects and the ability to start accomplishing things very, very quickly. Have I left anything out, Hilde?
I think you did great. Bonnie, has that been your experience as well?
Yes, and I was just going to add to that and endorse that. It's part of modeling the process of partnership. And I found by taking the time to get to know the potential client before the contract, to really start it as a partnership, to really say that you're going to put the kind of time in to get to know them while you're still someone that they're considering, sends a very powerful message to them as to how you're going to work with them and what the evolution and the sustainability of your time together is going to be. And I know that I've had potential clients who've told me that that's part of the reason why they wanted to work with me, because that they got that message that this was going to be a real partnership.
Great. Wonderful. Dimitri is flagging me down that there is a new question. How do you help agencies communicate with each other so that work is not duplicated and instead enhance and build strength in the community by working together and exchanging information? Can information be exchanged or shared to measure outcome and real change? So really that whole issue of and Dimitri, if you've got who that questioner was, I would love to give credit to you.
Jane Crothers.
Great. Jane, thank you for that. How do you help organizations work with each other and really create enhanced community strength?
Well, I'll take a first stab at this question by saying that we're not in many ways going to answer that question specifically, and I'll be very transparent about why I'm not going to answer it. One of the approaches that the Pollyanna Principles and Community Driven Institute takes and why it's so different is that we're very used to problem solving. We're very used to somebody saying, okay, I've got this problem. I've got these agencies who aren't communicating with each other, and I need some help. And our tendency as facilitators and consultants is to want to then say, well, this is what to do, you know? And one of the things that's so much more powerful is then to turn it around and say, okay, this is what's the you want to accomplish. What are the end goals? What are the vision? And if the vision is that you want agencies that communicate with each other and that's the highest potential, then what conditions need to be met to do that? What are the obstacles that are standing in the way of that happening within your particular community? And by thinking through that process and what the PBI community can help us all do better is to think through that process, and that's where the questions are so important. What is it that we're looking for that needs to be changed, and how we go about doing that is so much more powerful and so much more energizing to us as individuals than problem solving, and very much to the organizations that we work with.
I was just going to say, I think that people who take this on, reading the materials and then sort of capping that off with coming to the class, would find this tremendous consistency in messages about community-driven institute, community engagement, and it's just a philosophy that runs throughout everything. It's taking us out of our silos and addressing things as a community. And back to you, Hildy.
I appreciate that. I also want to just build on what Bonnie was saying, because it is a huge part of what we will be practicing in the course, and Randa mentioned how much of it is interactive and how much of it is practice, is looking at every problem and getting above the problem. And really looking at, we've gotten very used to in the work that we do in this sector, to look at a problem and solve it. And we do that on the phone with our clients all the time. Our board is not working. Okay, here's what we need to do to fix that. And that is really the exact opposite of what we're going to be doing. And it is a retraining of how we think and be. We are almost innately problem-solving beings, humans. And yet when we step out of the problem-solving mode, and we all know that when we go to solve one problem, 17 others pop up. We're putting our fingers in the holes in the dam until we run out of fingers and toes. If we're trying to write a grant and we're not getting the information that we need from the client, we suddenly realize that there's a communication problem. And then we start to realize that there are other personnel issues. And we realize that there's problems because the board is not communicating well with the staff. And we realize that the board, and it mushrooms, and it mushrooms. And so what we work on is really looking at a very, very different question. And that question is, what's possible? What do you, as an organization, we get to the heart of, and again, it's why I said before that the focus is, what change do you want to create in that community? And how can, okay, you're having a problem with your board, how can the board be aimed at creating that change in the community? How can your planning be? You're having a problem with resource development. How does resource development fit into that bigger question of what you want to accomplish? And so Bonnie was right on in your approach to the question, Bonnie, that the question of how do we get all those agencies who aren't talking together to talk together? The real question is, what do all those agencies care about? And what they all care about is the community and making the community better. And it's getting above that and then creating a system that will allow that to happen rather than forcing it to happen. When we problem solve, we tend to be forcing things to happen. And one of the things, and both Randa and Bonnie, if you want to speak to the difference between forcing things to happen and prescribing things to happen, and allowing them to happen and having the wisdom in the room make that.
The things that we used to address as problems and think that we used to have to walk in with the solutions and the thou shalt do this and thou shalt not do that, instead now we turn it around and ask the people in the room, you know, what their thoughts are, and it's such a relief, number one, to not feel that we have to walk in with all of the answers, and number two, to have the people in the room have a space to share what they actually have been thinking about and wondering about, and to have a really safe space for them to unearth their own solutions to these things that have been frustrating them is a very, very satisfying relationship on both parts.
Bonnie, you had something?
Yes, I wanted to add one more thing to that, and then I wanted to look at the second part of Jane's question for a minute. But going back to the point that Randa was making and that was raised and it'll be raised in terms of the wisdom in the room, one of the very important things that I've learned through this process, and I may have been cognizant of it initially, but I really have been retraining myself to think about it all the time. We as consultants and facilitators, it's very hard for us to step back. We're used to solving problems and we're used to intervening. And I'm much more cognizant of when to intervene and when not to. And I think that's a really strong aspect of this process, to know that we don't need to be problem solvers, and to know that when we want to intervene, we might come up with a great solution for the group, but it's not necessarily their solution, and it's not necessarily one that's going to be sustainable. I also just wanted for a minute to address the second part of Jane's question about whether or not information can be exchanged or shared to measure outcome and real change. I think that's a great question in terms of how we measure real change, and that's another part of, I think, this whole process, that we look at outcomes and measurements very differently in terms of what we're measuring. And I would say from my perspective that we don't yet know how to measure real change, and we as a society, we can share with you anecdotal information about how some real change has come about, but if you look at the structures in our society that measure right now, not only do they not measure real change, but they're resistant to it. And there was recently a guest blog that Hildy did and a number of people participated in, where a lot of the structures that many of us respect have a hard time changing that paradigm to think about measuring outcomes in a way that really looks at real change as opposed to numbers and how many people that we've interacted with that might look like change.
Yeah, it is. Your point, Bonnie, on moving to a different way of thinking about the question, reminded me one of the participants in one of our classes, like Randa, has been doing her work for 30 years. And at the end of every day, she would look at me and she'd say, I've been doing this work for 30 years. I'm really good at what I do. My clients really love me, and I'm really comfortable with how I do it. And you are taking me so far outside my comfort zone. But it really is, how do we think differently and be differently in that work? And the thing that I loved was that her very next statement after all of it was, I know this is where I need to go. I know that if I want to get past my frustration that my clients are not creating the kinds of change I know they can create, I know this is where I want to go, and I can't wait to come back tomorrow, but I know you're just going to stretch me again. So it is a very, very, it's one of the energizing parts for us to be able to share this, to be able to see that in people who've been doing this work for as long, Randa, and you, Bonnie, have been doing it, that it really does change the way you're thinking and being inside of that.
It really does. And Hildy, you know, I could have made those exact same comments. I'm glad someone else felt the same way. Being stretched and expanded felt so wonderful, and we were fortunate to get some project leads immediately following the class, one actually during the class, so we got to start practicing immediately. But the person who picked us up at the airport and was driving us home said, what are you going to do about your existing clients now that you have a whole new way of approaching your work? And so We found that in the next week, in the conversations with two or three of the existing clients, that they sensed that we were treating them differently, interacting with them differently, asking different questions. And so even though we've worked with a couple of these for 2 years now, we would start asking questions differently, and they'd say, oh, I'm so glad that you put it that way. I'm so glad that you asked it that way. And so, again, these were relationships that were excellent and that have just become even better and more open and easier because of the fine-tuning that we're able to do through this work. So I'm glad I didn't think that I had it all figured out after 30 years.
Well, and it just, you may have had a good chunk of it figured out. It just wasn't all of it.
Right.
There is just more. Another question that has come in via the email from Jim Moore, which is, how does this work fit with the more practical elements of nonprofit consulting, fundraising, marketing, communications? Much of what we do is focused on these areas. I think it's interesting because frequently we get similar questions, Dimitri and I get, which is, all of this changing the world stuff is all very well and good, but how does this practically apply to fundraising? How does this practically apply to governance and communication? What would you guys say to that?
Well, first of all, I'd say that I'm a pretty practical person, and Hildy and Dimitri have seen me sometimes really have to bite my lip sometimes if somebody's too far out there in terms of, at least from my perspective, in terms of how they're looking at it from a not practical perspective. So I completely understand where Jim's coming from and where a lot of people are coming from in terms of being skeptical about this. It's not pie in the sky in terms of the way that traditionally some people might think of the definition of Pollyanna. Where I think it's incredibly practical is underscoring some of these themes that we've been talking about, how you can be more effective in whatever work you do. Because even if you're doing fundraising, even if you're doing grant writing, even if you're doing something that looks like it's very specific, it's interconnected to everything else that's going on in that organization. And the more that you can see that, and the more that you can help your organizations that you're working with see that, the more sustainable whatever comes out is going to be. And I'll give you a very quick story. I wasn't necessarily a strategic planner when I went into consulting. I had this little niche where I thought I was very good at working with organizations in terms of engaging internationally. So organizations would bring me to do that. They'd have a very particular piece. It would be staff with a very particular portfolio in terms of what they wanted me to do, which would be similar, I think, to somebody bringing you in to do fundraising or mm-hmm. other types of very specific aspects of our consulting work. And I very quickly realized that things were so connected that if we didn't look at it from an overall perspective, that when times weren't as good or that staff person left or the champion for whatever wasn't there, then that part of the organizational portfolio was going to be cut off. Mm-hmm. And fundraising obviously is a little bit more or you could argue in some ways that something like fundraising is a little bit more fundamental to an organization. But on the other hand, we all know with budget cuts that there are all kinds of things that get cut back, and bringing in a consultant to fundraise might be one of them. And so the more that we can look at how the work that we do is a very important part of a holistic organism, the more effective that we become as consultants.
And Randa, how would you respond to the practical elements? Because the work that you're doing is exactly what Jim had mentioned in his question: fundraising, marketing, communications.
Yes, and as I mean, I say this with a complete smile on my face, but you get brought into an organization to help with the fundraising, but the work really is never limited to that. There will also be either some staff issues or some board issues or some management issues or some strategic planning issues. So the work of fundraising, for instance, or doing a communications plan is never really isolated to that realm. So sort of, acknowledging that there is going to be a larger realm in the organization that you'll be working with right up front is very, very helpful. A tool that we'd been using for quite some time is Hildy's article about visionary and missionary, and helping an organization to see that their vision is tied into their community gets them beyond thinking about themselves. And so just as sort of conventional fundraising wisdom, conventional fundraising counsel is, you know, well, people don't give to organizations that have needs. You know, your most effective fundraising letters are not going to be, we need, we need, we need, we need. So what the Community Driven Institute approach does is take that and turn it not only outside the organization itself, but outside into this bigger realm of having a vision for what the entire community can be about. So your some of your fundraising mechanisms may or may not change during this, but the messaging and sort of the aim and the tone of your fundraising will take on a different nature because you are seeing a bigger picture for the impact of the work that you're doing.
Yeah, the stories that you guys are sharing are reminding me, and it comes back to Jane's question that she asked earlier about organizations getting together. One of the participants in one of the classes, who actually is quoted in the video at the site, Gail Valeriot, who works in out of the Volunteer Center in Guelph, Ontario. Gail was sharing that she has had so many organizations that come to her to do consulting with them specifically about how do I make my organization stronger? How do we build strength into our organization? She said they walk in the door looking to build strength in their organization, and that by the time she's done working with them, the questions that they're asking are how can we engage other organizations to build strength in our community? And that whole focus on community spread throughout fundraising and communications and marketing, those very, very fundamental survival kinds of things, change this story, as you're saying, Randa, from survival as me to survival as our community. And how do we build that? And again, it is very practical, as you guys are talking about. But that's the exciting part, is when you see that the practical things that you're doing can actually have that impact. And that's what's been the exciting part for Dimitri and me in all these years, and why we didn't want to keep it to ourselves, or why we want to share it. I appreciate that.
I just wanted to say, and you model that, again, just as you model from the very beginning, from our first phone call with you when we register for the class, and with the minute that the class opens up, as Bonnie was talking about, but also when the class is done, we have community that continues on as a result of that. So we have a whole web area that is accessible to us. We have our own class. We have anyone else who has been through the Community Driven Institute. We have our phone calls with each other. So there, we continue to have a community that supports us in coming up, you know, in sustaining what we absorb during those 5 days. And we are just, I keep thinking about absorbing. I mean, we are just absorbing the entire time during those 5 days, but it doesn't stop there. We are able to continue to reinforce our knowledge and share with each other through the communities that you build afterwards.
Yeah. Bonnie, could you share just a little bit, without getting into specifics, the conference call with your class yesterday? You had to leave early. I'm just remembering that. I will share, and you can jump in for the parts that you were there. 90-minute conference calls follow monthly after the classes. And what has happened in the class that Bonnie was in is this is a group that's been meeting together for, I don't know, going on 9 months now, not only spent 5 days together, but then is meeting together monthly and building that trust and building that support. And one of the things that we hear so often from independent consultants is that when they get together with other consultants, it's mostly for networking, but that they're really not able to let their hair down and say, I'm really struggling with this. I'm not sure where to go with it. And yesterday's call in Bonnie's class, two individuals really were able to let their hair down and say, I am really having a hard time and don't know where to go with this. And when there was a reflection at the end of the class about at the end of the call, you know, what stood out for you, just about everyone said it is such a gift to have this safe place where we as consultants can let our hair down and be with each other, knowing we're all seeking this higher purpose for our clients.
I will comment on that. I was in that part of the conversation,
mm-hmm.
and I'll comment a little bit about, again, this whole concept of community and modeling it from the very beginning. And I think that one of the things that you will gain from this community, if you choose to join it, which is very unique in many ways, is that it's very hard, if you really think about that concept of community, to build and nurture a community. And one of the things that often in our experiences will kick it off, will bond us, if you've ever, you know, traveled with a group, or there's certain times where you bond very quickly with a group. This is one of those times. These 5 days are so interactive and so affirming in terms of our own skills and sharing that you bond very quickly. And that kind of bonding then, as Hildy mentioned, is taken through conference calls and other kinds of things. And again, it models the process for our organizations. You can't build community online. You have to build it face-to-face. But then the online certainly adds to that. And the fact that we have that kind of bonding experience and we know each other so well and trust each other so well, we can do things on a conference call. And this class is, and I'm sure other classes after they've been working together longer will do the same thing, but the time that this class has now had to cement those relationships one-on-one in some ways or collectively as the group now allow us to really utilize those virtual tools.
Yeah, it is. It's really, really powerful, really powerful. In the 4 minutes that we have left, and it's amazing that it has been an hour, there is one remaining question that comes from Nicey Taylor. This question is an interesting one because we have a panel of folks who have been collectively doing this work for, I don't know, if you add all of us up, we probably come to 100 years, which is very scary. But Nicey's question is, what advice do you have to offer a newbie who would like to implement these ideals and practices from the very beginning?
What a great start. We actually had new people in our class, and it... again, I mean, they just were able to learn right from the beginning, and some of them had, you know, a couple of clients, but were really looking at expanding their reach through their consulting practices, and it gave them this wonderful way of approaching all of their prospects and clients from then on. So it's no drawback to be a new consultant. What you are doing, you'll be, you know, engineering your practice this way from the very beginning.
You don't have to fix anything. you don't have to be the person who's stepping outside their comfort zone. You're building your comfort zone that way.
Yeah, it's almost always easier to start anew than retool. So in many ways, it's an advantage. And the wonderful thing, again, about this community that's so accepting is it's wonderful to have a combination of newbies and veterans.
Yeah. Well, and it brings a wonderful mix to the class. The one of the people that was in the class that Randa is talking about that had been sitting on many boards and realized that the reason that people wanted him on the board was really to act as a pro bono consultant. And by the end of the class, vowed that he was going to form a consulting company and at the beginning just work pro bono with these folks. He's got a full-time job and doesn't have time to sit on all those boards just to be a consultant, that he could be more powerful if he was doing consulting. And the fun part, again, reflecting back to the community that is built on the calls afterwards and online, is that he was expressing yesterday in the call in his class that he was having trouble and talking about a pro bono client that he was working with and really banging his head against the wall. And the joyful part of it, and again, it comes to working from the basis of a vision of what we want to accomplish versus working from problem solving. When he came into the call, he was really focused on how do I problem solve with this client that clearly has problems. and within 2 hours posted to the online community that the call had been so positive and so affirming and so uplifting for him that that was what he brought into the interaction with the client, and that what he was able to do was to listen for their negativity and their problem solving and bring them up to the higher level of saying, what is possible if it's working well, and how can we do that, and how can you do that? And what he came to was that, at least initially, they didn't need him. And sometimes as a consultant, isn't that wonderful to say, when you are ready for the really higher level stuff and the good stuff, that's when we should be talking. And consistently, that's what Dimitri and I have found in the work we've been doing, because we've been doing it for a long time now, is that the stuff that all of us as consultants say, oh boy, I don't want to have to do another one of these, frequently that's the stuff that the client can work out for themselves if we give them the space and trust that they have the wisdom to do that, and then work with them on the juicy stuff that brings them to the next level. One additional question that came in after the call is from Judy Pidgo. I think that's how you pronounce her name. I'm sorry, Judy, if I'm mispronouncing it. How can we shift the paradigm for funders to support a more engaged approach? And Judy goes on to explain, and I want to share with the group here what she said. How can we shift the paradigm for funders to support a more engaged approach? In my practice, I find the sources of funding for capacity building that pays for consultants are driving the need to sell services, and she underlines sell, to groups rather than engage them in the way you describe. I work mostly with artists who are very responsive to the engagement process, but in the end, they hire a firm that impresses the funder. Often the result is a report that cannot be implemented or, well, you know what I mean. And so the question is, how can we shift the paradigm for funders who, rather than looking at perhaps low bid or whatever they're looking at, to really support a more engaged approach like we've been talking about? Brenda, what has your experience been with funders? Because you do so much with between AFP and fundraising and...
Well, I think, again, we've talked so much in this call about modeling community engagement, community-driven organizations. And one of the things that impressed me during the week that I was taking the course was, again, revisiting with you, Hilde, how you had gone around to various communities across the country for, I think it was a three-month time period that you and Dimitri were on the road. And one of the activities that you did was also to assemble the funders. And so our communities don't stop just within what we think of as formerly nonprofit organizations, now thinking of them as community benefit organizations, but certainly has to go on to encompass the funders as well. So looking at how we draw them into this conversation, and so that it's not a we, they, and, you know, us against them, but making them part of the solution as well. And Hilde, you must have some great stories from when you would travel around and assemble groups of funders.
It is really it's the perfect, I was sort of thinking the same thing, so I'm glad you mentioned it. The ability for a consultant to contact several funders and say, you know, times are tough, I've been thinking about and hearing about, and I've gone to these classes in a different way of thinking and being, I'd like to share with you what I'm learning that can make it more effective for you as a funder. There's a lot of power there. Funders are struggling. I mean, if there's one thing that we find, even before the economy went bad, we always found that funders are frustrated that they can't do more with what they are seeing as limited funds. And so the ability to engage the discussion with funders as well as providers, and then, heaven forbid, actually have them all in the same room, isn't that just amazing? To actually have them have dialogue is because we've got that huge honking wall between funders and providers. But really, I think you're right, Randa, because what the wall does is it says, well, we providers really are the ones that are influencing the community, and the funders are just making the rules, or we funders are the ones that are really making the impact through our dollars, and if only those organizations would change. And we have this wonderful ability, and the economy really does provide us with a great opportunity to bring together funders, to bring together organizations, to bring together the funders and the organizations to say, how can we change this paradigm? Because, again, it's not focused on the problem solving of the economy sucks, what can we do? But it's really focused on we want our community to be okay. We want our community to be a great place to live. We're all participants in this. What can we accomplish together that we can't accomplish on our own?
Definitely. We sat down within 10 days of taking the course. We sat down with a local funder and described to them exactly what we had experienced, and they are so interested in seeing the solution because funders know also that there's a lot of problems out there in this sector, and what this funder said to us is it's going to be the funders that drive the changes and that are driving the solutions. So whether that perspective is right or wrong, it is a perspective that is being held in some cases. And so engaging them in the conversation, I mean, well, we're in ongoing dialogue about how to bring this community-driven thinking into the sector in this community because this funder is so interested in it. So I think there would be receptivity to the conversation.
I think this is Dimitri. I think there's another point here as well, and that is that this conversation or engagement is not necessarily tied to a specific grant or a specific funding opportunity, that you're showing the funders of the community that you're interested in this issue overall, not that you're trying to differentiate yourself in one particular grant application or funding opportunity against another consultant who may be coming in. So it really helps you raise the conversation and your stature or reputation for integrity in the eyes of that that funder.
Well, you're bringing up another point, Dimitri, and that is that there is no reason that it has to be a consultant that does this. The power in having several consultants walk arm in arm to the funders and
exactly.
Say, as a group of consultants, we want to talk about creating this change. One of the interesting conversations that I had here locally with a funder was when that funder was talking about creating a capacity building initiative and put out an RFP, and you know we can all groan about an RFP, but put out an RFP that said design a process and how should we choose which consultant will do what work. And Dimitri and I sat down. We don't normally respond to RFPs, but we know the funder, so we took him out for breakfast. And first we yelled at him for doing an RFP, but that's besides the point. And then said, why do we have to do this in silos of consultants? You have got the wisdom of every consultant in this community. Bring us all together and have us as a consulting community create this capacity building initiative for you, with you. We all want it, and it benefits all of us. And his response was, would all the consultants work together? Don't you guys all compete? And, you know, Randy, you're part of AFP. Bonnie is part of consulting consortiums in different areas. We all know that in this sector, and, you know, we've also quite honestly seen it in the Institute for Management Consultants in outside the community benefit sector, that we all work together, that we all want the same thing, and that there really is no lines that say, well, I don't want you to go to the funder with me because I want to have that relationship. There's power in when we get outside our silos and we get above it and say, what can we accomplish together for our community that we can't accomplish separately? We can do that as funders, but we can do it as consultants too.
And that's one reason I'm so excited about your training program with the management service organizations, and is that, again, then we're going to be creating this conversation within multiple organizations that involve people from consulting world as well as from the agencies themselves. So it keeps on spreading it out, but certainly having consultants work together. I mean, there's three consultants on the board of our local fundraising training organization. So we are all looking at those problems. So that's a great question, and again, there's great possibility there.
As we're wrapping up, Randa and Bonnie, any last things that you would like to share with the group to share what has energized your practice through this kind of work? Randa, do you want to go first?
Well, Hilde, being able to be around your consistent vision for 5 days has impacted me so strongly, impacted Jonathan so strongly, and absolutely has created a change in everything that we have done. And this is not just about our work. This also becomes about your life and how you look at every situation in your life. So whether it's a family issue or a health issue, you look at everything differently. So taking this course so far exceeded what I had even dreamed that it might do. If there's exceeds expectations, I would give that 5 stars right there. So the value of it has been absolutely immense and impacts me every single day.
Wow. Thank you. Bonnie?
And I would just say that this call today for me is a good example of how the continuing community is so important. You will always come away from your interactions with your CBI colleagues feeling more energized.
Just as I do now. Any questions that folks have that have not been answered, we will be answering in addition to the call. So we'll either be gathering together in the next couple of days and answering them live or answer them in writing. The recording of this will be posted to the site, and we will send a note out to folks to let you know that you'll be able to download it, and it will be a podcast. And the one thing that I did want to offer to the folks on this call, if you are interested in the class and the information that you will have gotten as part of the registration, note that if you are interested in looking at the Phase 1 materials of the class, in addition to what you got in your registration, we have got a special code that if you let us know, we can get to you that allows you to purchase the package of absolutely everything at half price. So let us know. Send us an email if that's of interest to you, where you can purchase everything that you need for the Phase 1 of this, all the reading that Bonnie and Randa talked about, the reading and the listening. All of that you can get as a package at half price if you just let us know by shooting us an email that you're interested in going through Phase 1. I want to thank Bonnie and Randa. It is always just energizing to be with you guys on the phone. I want to thank my partner, Dimitri, for not letting the floor fall out from under us. And I want to thank all of you for being on the call. And we look forward to you joining us in this movement to change the way this sector does its work so we really can create the future for our world. Thanks, guys.